Good evening. I had an open subject, an open title this night, but I kind of wanted to stay with what something we had been studying to kind of tie something together. And I thought about our reading in Exodus where Moses is dealing with Pharaoh. So I began to check and began to study around a little bit. I thought I'd do a little lesson on the Pharaoh and why the Pharaoh's heart was so hard. But there's really nobody knows who the Pharaoh was at this time. There's a lot of speculation. So as I kept thinking about it, I finally flipped over, and I think we'll talk about Aaron tonight. Because Aaron was another very important part. I like to do these personality traits. I like to look at different people. I like to look at the things they did. I like to look at the mistakes they made and their virtues. And the Bible, even though these men were very important people and God thought a lot of them and they did many good things, the Bible does not sugarcoat. So along with the good things that a man does, the Bible also tells us the bad things that the man has done. And Aaron is no different. Aaron was a human being. And he was an individual that made a lot of mistakes. And he's probably, we're going to talk about 3 days of Aaron's life that he probably wishes he could have back, because one day of his life and one of the mistakes he made is something that will identify Aaron forever. And of course, that was the golden calf. He's a very interesting man. He was a very important man. He was a man that had a lot of importance in the different historical things that happened in Israel. It was Aaron who went along with Moses when they went to the Pharaoh. It was Aaron that held up Moses' arms in the battle. It was Aaron that, of course, was responsible for the golden calf incident. A man that did many good things, but a man that also made a lot of mistakes. And I think that's the lesson we need to talk about a little bit tonight. It's sometimes one thing, one mistake, one day, can be with you for the rest of your life. Aaron had some glaring weaknesses because he, even as we, are human. And he had some personal weaknesses that caused some very tragic results. So I think tonight we're going to study a little bit about Aaron, this brother of Moses. We're going to talk about some of the bad things he did. We're going to talk about some of his weaknesses. We're going to talk about some of his strengths. And I think by looking at these Old Testament characters, maybe we can learn how to be a better person ourselves and do the things we're supposed to do. Let's go to Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Aaron was the eldest of 3 siblings. He was the son of Amram and Jehochabed. They were from the tribe of Levi. Aaron was born in Egypt while the nation was still enslaved, and he was born a slave, as were his parents. His sister was Miriam, and his brother was Moses, and Moses was some 3 years younger than Aaron. Aaron was married. His wife's name was Elisheba, and together they had 4 sons, Nabath, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. He was a very strong character. He was a man that was good. He was devout. He was a religious man. He was a very good Jew. He was a very strong Israelite. He was a man that did what God wanted him to do. Yet throughout his life, it seemed that Aaron struggled with maintaining the strength of character to do what he was always supposed to do. It seems that Aaron was an individual that was a better follower than he was a leader, and he could be led. Now, as long as he was with Moses, and Moses was a very strong character, and Moses was very strong-willed, as long as he's with Moses, then the strength and the character of Moses would keep Aaron in line, and Aaron was a good follower of his brother Moses. But when he got away from Moses, he had a tendency to lose this strength, this character. He had problems and he struggled with maintaining this character. And this led to some very significant mistakes that Aaron made. Obviously, he was repentant of these mistakes and he realized it because he was a godly man and he was a man that wanted to do what was right, and he was a man that made mistakes. But God allowed Aaron to have a long life, and he honored his name, and Psalms referred to him as the saint of the Lord. So Aaron was truly an individual that was godly. He was a man that tried to do what was right. He was a man that had good intentions, but he was a man that had a little bit of problems when he would get around those that were not right. He had the tendency to fall. As proud as he was and as good as he was a human being and he had weaknesses. And even though he was an important Israeli character and had a great amount to do with the history of the Israelites, he was a man that did make mistakes. There are three significant things that Aaron did, three particular days in Aaron's life that I'm sure he would like to have back, because these were 3 days that we're going to talk about where Aaron made a real mistake in judgment, and the mistakes that he made in judgment cost him and cost him severely. So for all of the weakness, all of the strengths that Aaron had, and there were many, there was also some weaknesses in this man, as there is in all humanity. And I believe that when we look at some of the things that Aaron did, some of the mistakes he made, I believe we'll be able to see ourselves in this. And we will also be able to see people in the world, because we will learn and know for an absolute fact that there is nothing new in this world. You know, it's just, we just repeat the same mistakes over and over again. The first thing that Aaron did was the deal that has identified him forever. It will identify him until the very ending of time. And this was the incident with the golden calf. The problem here and the mistake and the thing that Aaron let happen to him was the fact that he followed the majority. When I was raising my 3 sons, it was important, and I tried to teach my sons, do not follow the majority. Do not be a follower. I tried to teach them to be a leader, to use their mind, to know what was right, to know what was wrong, and not follow the crowd, but just because the crowd was doing something, they didn't have to do it. And if it was wrong, I didn't want them to get involved in something that could get them into trouble. Thankfully, I had a few successes in this. I also had a few failures in this. But I'm glad that my sons fought for themselves. I'm glad that they were leaders, and I'm glad that they were not followers. And I'm glad that my son and daughter today are teaching my grandchildren the same thing. Teach them what's right, teach them what's wrong, and teach them to have the backbone and the courage to stand up and do what's right and not follow the majority in doing something that is wrong. And peer pressure is very strong. It's always been. It will always be. But we've got to remember that our friends do not always do the right thing, and we are responsible for ourselves. Aaron had a problem with this because Aaron made the mistake of following the majority. You remember when Moses went up onto Mount Sinai to receive the law of God, he was gone some 40 days. And after he had been gone for a few weeks, the Israelites begin to murmur, and they begin to complain, and they begin to worry. Moses is dead. Moses has ran off. Moses has abandoned us. And it seems that all through the Old Testament, when we talk about murmuring and complaining and griping at a consistent, constant, daily deal, these Jews were probably just about the worst. And so now they're griping and they're complaining and they're murmuring. Moses is gone. We have no leader. We must have a leader. We left Egypt where we had gods that we could worship that would pull us through. We want a God that we can worship. And finally, toward the end of the 40 days, Aaron gave in. The majority of the people said, we want a God. The majority of the people said, give us a God. The majority of the people said, we need something, give us something. And he finally got all of it he could take, and he bent his will to the will of the majority. He took gold from all of the Israelites, and he melted this gold, and from this gold he cast a golden calf. Now, after the 40 days are up and Moses is coming off of the mountain, he sees the dancing and hears the music and he hears all of the different partying that's going on. And when he finally gets into the midst of the Israeli camp, he sees the people worshiping and gathered around, groveling around this golden calf. And Moses lost it at this point. It was something that was so totally wrong and so totally evil and so totally against God. He had left Aaron in charge of the people. Now we're 40 days, as Moses had been up on the mountain communing with God, Aaron is down letting the people do what they want to do. And then the absurd, foolish excuses that Aaron makes only exacerbates a situation that is already bad. Aaron said, they forced me to do it. They made me to do it. They made me make this calf. They gunned up on me. They forced me. I have no other choice. Well, that one wouldn't fly, so he comes up with another one. We took all this gold, we threw it in the fire, and when the fire went out, there was a golden calf already built and constructed and fabricated. So we figured that this must be the calf we must worship. So we now worship this golden calf that miraculously appeared in the fire. And of course, this was just as foolish as the first one. And Moses realized it, and he very much got on to his big brother for bending his will to the will of the people and letting these people do something that he knew was wrong. Know what's right and wrong and stand on your own two feet, children. And do not let the majority pull you into something that you know is wrong. This calf did not just happen, but Aaron, bending to the will of the people, created this calf, and these people were worshiping it as a deity, even after all of the miraculous things that God had done to pull them out of the Egyptian bondage that they were in and taking them toward a promised land that he had given. I'm sure this is one day in the life of Aaron that he would love to have had back. But this is something that marks Aaron, and he will throughout history. He is the one that threw gold in the fire, and out of the fire came this golden calf that the people were worshiping. There was another problem, too, that Aaron had. And once again, this was caused by someone else. This was caused by his sister Miriam. When Egypt, at this time in history, Egypt was a divided land. The Bible tells us that in one portion of Israel that the Ethiopians were strong and that they were a conquering nation. Now, there's not much we find in the Bible, past or present or future, where any of the African nations have been nations that have been strong enough to go out and conquer. But obviously, at this time in history, the Ethiopians were a very strong nation, and they inhabited part of Egypt. And then on the other part of the nation, we have the Israelites, and they estimate that there were some 2 million of the Israelites. And then in the middle, you had the Egyptians. Well, we had new pharaohs that come and go. And after a while, we reach a pharaoh, and his advisors tell him, we've got to do something about this. We've got these Ethiopians on one side, and they're going to come down to defeat us. We have these Israelites on the other side. They're going to grow, and they're going to crush us out, and we will be lost as a nation. Well, at this time, Moses, one or two in the nation of Egypt, was the commander of the forces. He went up into the land of the Ethiopians. And whether it was a political design or whether he actually fell in love with this woman, we do not know. But we know that peace was made. And when Moses came back, he brought a wife of the Ethiopians with him. A black woman from the Ethiopian race was his wife. Obviously, it was a pretty strong marriage because it lasted. But whether it was a peace offering because she was the daughter of the king of the Ethiopians, or whether it was a political move to make peace, we don't know. But we do know that he did come back with an Ethiopian wife. This was Moses' decision. It was Moses' business. It was not the business of his sister Miriam or his brother Aaron. But that didn't stop them from ridiculing and mocking him. They scorned him. They heaped contempt upon both the woman and on Moses himself because of this marriage. They had no business doing this. But it came to the point that finally God had to step in. And we get this understanding in the book of Numbers where God actually calls them out. And he is very angry at Miriam and Aaron because of the scorn and the contempt that they have for this woman and the way that they are behaving with Moses. And God had all of it he wanted. He had all of this problem and all of this complaint that he wanted. And he called them out, and the first thing he did was he caused Miriam to become leprous. Miriam was put out of the camp. She spent some days out of the camp. And that's when God made the statement. He said, of all the men in the world, Moses is the most humble. And he said, you have no business treating him like you're treating him. Well, it was a jealousy issue. It was an issue, and even the statement is made in Numbers when Miriam asked of God, said, you know, we prophesy, we're pretty important too. Why is it that Moses is always the head, and here we are as elders, why are we below Moses? It was a position of jealousy. It was a position of pride. And Aaron, so filled with pride in himself and so filled with jealousy for his brother, he and his sister had heaped contempt, and they had directed their jealousy toward the wife of Moses. And God got all of it. He was going to put up with, and he took it into his own hands. Miriam was given leprosy. She was put outside of the camp. And Moses was begging God. Moses begged God to give his sister back her health. He did, but it was after some time that she spent out of the camp. It was after some time she spent as a leper to give her a little bit of time so that she could adjust her attitude. It was a mistake of pride that Aaron had, again, following the instructions and following the guidance of his sister. There was jealousy, and it led to contempt, and it led to scorn for something that was absolutely none of their business. Of course, this being the wife of Moses, it was none of their business. It was Moses. There's another problem that he had. He had an attitude of pride, and he had an attitude of jealousy, and it cost him, and it cost his sister, and it caused God to have to come down and to make a correction here. The third mistake that Aaron made in the third day of his life that he would like to have back was when they were almost through the wilderness. They'd spent almost 40 years wandering. And the time was just about upon them when they were going to be given Canaan, this land that flows with milk and honey. But it was dry, and there was no water in the wilderness that they were in. And once again, the Israelite children began to bellyache and to complain and to gripe and to murmur, to the point that Aaron and Moses both had just about all of them that they could take. God said, if you will go to a certain rock and speak to this rock, the rock will give you water that the people may be fed. But it was just the attitude of total, absolute frustration that when Moses and Aaron together, because Moses was in this just as strongly as Aaron was, they became so angry at the people that when they finally got to the rock, instead of talking to the rock as God had commanded, they began to smote the rock with their rods. The Bible tells us that water came forward and that the children of Israel were able to drink, but Moses and Aaron paid a tremendous price for their disobedience to God. God said, speak to the rock, and I will deliver water out of the rock that the people may be fed, and I will get the glory for this miracle that I have performed. But when Aaron and Moses began to slap this rock with their stick, they took away God's glory. They brought it upon themselves. They made themselves responsible for water. Here is water you may drink. God was very disappointed. God was very frustrated. And God said, neither one of you men will enter into the promised land because of your sin. This was anger. So we see Aaron following the majority, letting the majority rule, even though he knew that they were wrong, he succumbed to the will of the majority and he made the golden calf. We see Aaron, under the influence probably of his sister, with the attitude of pride and the attitude of jealousy, which caused him to make remarks about the wife of Moses that was none of his business. This was the second trait. This was the second weakness that we see. And now we see both of them, Aaron and Moses, being so overcome with anger that they slapped the rock instead of talking to it, taking the glory of this miracle for themselves instead of giving it to God. And this one cost them their right to go into the land of Canaan. 40 years of wandering was squandered at this time because they were never going to get to see the promised land. Is this something that's so unusual in today's note, though? Is this something so unusual today that we have never seen this since the day of Aaron and Moses? And of course, we know it's not. Because people still follow the majority and do the wrong thing. People still get angry. People are still prideful. People are still jealous. And all of these sins that we see listed here with Aaron, all of these weaknesses that Aaron had are weaknesses that people still have today. But he also had a lot of strengths. There was a lot of good things that Aaron did also. So before we leave this poor man, just looking at the things that he did wrong and the consequences of the wrong actions that he did, and that's a lesson in itself. There are consequences for going against the will of God. But before we leave Aaron here, let's talk about some of the great things that he did. Let's talk about some of the strengths that Aaron had. He had weaknesses, but the scale was not balanced because he had more good things, more strengths than he did weaknesses. When Moses was asked, or when Moses was commanded to go back into the land of Egypt, to go to the Pharaoh and to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, Moses said, "I can't do it. My speech is too slow. I have a slow tongue." So God said, "You go, you be responsible, but I will send your brother Aaron with you, and your brother Aaron will be your spokesperson." So we obviously know that Aaron had the ability to talk. He had the ability to communicate. He had this strength, this portion. And so God said, "I will put Aaron with you by your side that you may go into the Pharaoh, and together you may face this man." So we know that even though Moses was slow of speech, we know that Aaron was not. This was a strength that he had. He had the ability to communicate. We also know that Aaron was not a coward. It took a lot of strength for a couple of slaves that had been born into slavery and lived their entire slavery as Aaron did, to go into the office or to the king's chambers of the highest in the land that had the authority to take their life with just by saying the words, to go into this man and say, "Listen, you need to let our people go because God said so." But yet Aaron was right there beside his brother. When they went into the king's chamber, he was not cowardly. He went in, he stood his ground, and they did what God told him to do. When the Amalekites in the wilderness had attacked the Israelites, God told Moses to hold his arms up in the air, and as long as his arms were in the air, that the children of Israel would be victorious in their fight against the Amalekites. But when the arms fell, that the Israelites would begin to be defeated by the Amalekites. So it was Aaron that stood and held up one arm of Moses, and it was Hur that stood on the other side and held up the other arm of Moses. And thus Moses and Hur and Aaron together were able to keep his arms up, even though fatigued, and the Canaanites, the Israelites, were able to defeat the Amalekites in this battle. But he stood beside his brother, and he and Hur did what was necessary for the Israelite nation. He assisted Moses daily in leading Israel, and this was a tough, thankless job with the daily murmurings and complaints and continual gripes of this ungrateful people. But yet he was there every day for 40 years, standing beside Moses, assisting him with these rebellious people. He was loyal to Moses. When some of the Israelites rebelled against Moses and against his authority, you remember it was Korah and 250 other members of the Israelites that decided they didn't like the way things were going, and they were going to take over this, and Moses was going to be removed from his job, and Korah and his 250 men, rebels, would then take over the Israelite camp. Well, when the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all of his followers, Aaron was not in that fissure. He was beside it and was not punished for this because he was loyal to Moses and he was loyal to God. He provided leadership in the religious life of the nation that lasted some 1,500 years. He was of the Levites, the tribe of Levi. He was of the priest of the Israelite nation. And in the 40 years of wandering, Aaron established the justice system and the priest system, which would be used in the land of Israel for some 1,500 years. He devised all this. This was, again, another one of his strengths, the office of the priesthood with his sons. So let's bring it to a close. What can we learn as we study about Aaron? Well, I've already said it, but I'll say it again. Do what you know is right. Stand on your own two feet. Don't follow what the majority says, because the majority is almost always wrong. Do what you know is right and don't fall as Aaron did. But if you do fall, do what Aaron did and realize what you've done and ask for forgiveness of it. And obviously this is what he did, because God continued to bless Aaron. He forgave the things that he did, and he said in the Psalms letter, "This man is one of my saints." And I guess the greatest lesson that we can learn is, regardless of what you face, of the temptations that you face or the opposition that you face, always trust in God, do what you know is right, and don't worry about anything else that happens. I thought this was a very interesting study. I think there's a lot we can learn from Aaron. I like the fact that he was a good, strong, devoted, godly man, but he had weaknesses like every one of us have, but he knew how to take care of them. Let's have a song of invitation. If we can help anyone, come forward as we say.